Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. In this episode, it's our 2025 movie extravaganza. That's where we look at a whole bunch of movies that are coming to theaters and streaming in 2025. So let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today, I'm a fellow host, John Davenport.
Hey, buddy.
Troy Heinrichs.
Let's all go to the lobby to see a movie.
And Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello.
And now I just want that outdoor theater thing where the hot dog jumps in the bun.
So sexual.
I'm very... It makes you wonder, like, in the 50s, did nobody think that was, or did everybody think that was? Sexy.
Well, they would have thought it was, but they were already in the car doing the hot dog and the bun thing, so they never actually saw the clip.
Jesus.
That's why you went to the drive-in. That's why it was so suggestive in the first place.
Yeah. I'm sure all those families were thinking that.
What family? They were at the family. The kids were running up front in the little playground area that was underneath the screen.
Dude.
It's the back row that you got to worry about.
Oh, I don't know what to do now. I don't know what to do. All right. So let's talk about some movies, huh? I'm so uncomfortable.
Aaron's like, bail.
I feel like Aaron misses calling to have sex at a drive-in.
Okay. Well, number one, Aaron's fine there. And number two, that's not what I meant, but there are a lot of kids there. There are just a lot of kids. There's a lot of families at the drive-in. There's like kids rolling out of that trunk, like left and right.
I mean, if you got your lights turned off. What's it matter?
I don't know.
There's speakers everywhere.
But it looked like a trafficking ring at sometimes. Like, there's so many kids rolling out of those trunks. It's insane. All right.
It's cost per car. It's not cost per person.
Yeah, hide them in the trunk.
So here's what we do with our extravaganza. We've done this for years. We're actually going to talk about some TV shows next week, too. But, January is a dry-ass month. There's not much to talk about in entertainment news unless you're Ryan Reynolds or Blake Lively. So we're going to talk about movies, and there's a whole lot of them coming out. You'd be surprised, I think, at how many are actually coming out. I think it's a much better year content-wise than we had last year because we don't have the strikes to contend with and whatnot. Movie theaters are surging. They just had a great winter. So I'm very excited for movie theaters as well as streaming originals. There's some great films coming there too, and we're going to talk about a lot of them. So we're going to start with our top five, like our five most anticipated movies of the year, each of us. And then we're going to go into listener top 10, which actually ended up being 12 because we had a three-way tie. But basically the ones that people, you listening, those in the movie going world are most excited for in 2025. So let's get into our list. Let's start with our top five most anticipated movies. There's a lot to get through, so I don't want to waste too much time, but let's have some energy. Let's have some fun. Let's see what we can get excited about. Who wants to go first? And I'm sure it's John. John, you ready?
Maybe.
I sure hope so. I sure hope so. Come on. Dazzle us.
My first movie is In the Gray, which is directed by Guy Ritchie. Love everything mm-hmm. he's ever really put out. Stars Jake Gyllenhaal, Henry Cavill, Eliza Gonzalez, Rosamund Pike, Fisher Stevens. It revolves around two extraction specialists who have been designated to route the escape of a senior female negotiator. I can't wait to see this. This sounds like a lot of fun, exciting, and that cast is hard to beat.
Yep, yep, and yep.
Is it just because of Cavill? You're like, he's not going to be in Superman, so I'm going to go see this.
No, I do like Guy Ritchie movies. Gyllenhaal and Cavill together sound great.
Cavill? I've never heard Cavill. I've never heard it pronounced Cavill. I like that. Maybe
whatever,
he would too.
I'm tired.
No, it's fine. I like it.
Plus, you got Rosamund Pike. So with all of that, I mean, yeah, you have a great director. You have a great cast. It sounds like it'll be fun. And probably have some quirky one-liners in there too, I would imagine.
It's Guy Ritchie, so it's going to have a great script to
dialogue.
It. Dialogue. Mm-hmm. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you.
It's coming out this summer, right?
It's coming out in 2025. I'm not really one for these live action remakes of stuff, of cartoons that I think are great. But of course, there has to be one that breaks the rule for me, and that's Lilo and Stitch. That's coming out May 23rd. And Stitch is one of my favorite animated series. I can't wait to see what they do as far as, well, I mean, they're going to do the same movie, only it's going to be real live with a freaking puppet or whatever. But I'm excited.
I'm fascinated by the concept to see like how well they portray the feeling of Ohana in this. Because like once you get that live action aspect, you might lose that kind of like childlike wonder that the animated series would have. So if they can still bring that, you know, family experience to the CGI, I think it'll be okay.
I'm not crazy about Lilo and Stitch. So this is when I'll probably take a back seat to.
What? Mm-hmm.
This is my family. It's broken, but good. Yeah, still
good. That was a decent impression, actually. Good job.
Really good.
Thank you.
Better than what the movie's probably going to be. I just don't... This is one that I think works better as an animated movie, but I could be surprised. But I'm also kind of tired of the live-action Disney interpretations. Snow White.
I'm tired of the idea in general, so I'm with you. However, it's Lilo and Stitch. That's what I get excited about is Lilo and Stitch.
I love the Hawaiian element. I really do.
Yeah.
Love
the Hawaiian elements are going to be great too.
Love the culture. Love the island. Love it. So
my next movie has a very special place in my heart. It's Paddington in Peru. It's going to be released February 14th, 2025.
Love.
And I'm excited about this. I love Paddington, and he's, as far as the story is concerned, a lot of people don't know this, but I'm actually dyslexic. And when I was growing up, my tutor had me reading Paddington books to help me get past a lot of my dyslexia. It's still a problem, but at least Paddington was the one that got me through a lot of it, a lot of the worst parts of it.
Can I ask, like, what is the more you know? What does Paddington? What is special about those books for dyslexia? I don't know why that would be.
I don't think it is anything to do with the books. I think my tutor just loved Paddington.
Oh, and so okay.
That's what she used to get me through it.
Those movies are very well revered.
No, they really are. And, you know, one of the things I love about Paddington is that he loves orange marmalade sandwiches. And orange marmalade is one of my favorite kinds of sandwiches, too. So it's great. So Love Hurts comes out February 20th.
Hold out.
So Love Hurts comes out February 7th, 2025. That's this year. That's why we're reading it now, as opposed to waiting for a whole year.
That would be wild. Why
I would say that. It stars Ke Huy Quan and Ariana DeBose. He is a realtor who's pulled back into his life that he left behind after his former partner in crime resurfaces with an ominous message with his crime lord brother also on his trail. He must confront his past and the history that he never fully buried. I think this is going to be great. I can't wait to see him starring in a movie. It's just a full circle trip to me.
He's deserved his own movie for a while, so I'm pretty excited about that. I love his comeback. Like, his whole story is amazing. I'm still pissed that we don't have a short round spinoff, but whatever. You know, I would rather have that. But this looks good. And people don't know that he was a stunt coordinator for many, many years. He's actually a very accomplished martial artist. So to see a Data whooping some ass, John Wick style, I think sounds fun. And plus, Marshawn Lynch is hilarious. Mm-hmm. Hilarious.
He's so funny and wild. Yeah, this one, it does look like a lot of fun. I am excited to see it.
Yeah, I'm all in for anything Ke Huy Quan can do as of late. Resurgence of the career.
And it's like a, you know, a little bit of a Valentine's Day thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's love and broken bones and probably...
And ass kicking.
Yeah, lobotomy here and there. It's all good.
Not since Deadpool have we had something so romantic.
That's true. That really made my Valentine's Day.
All right, and my final one is Novocaine. That's going to be released March 14th. It stars Jack Quaid, and he is Nathan Kane, which I guess is where they get the Novocaine from. He's a hero who is immune to pain due to genetic disorder. His girlfriend, who's played by Amber Midthunder, if you remember her from the Predator movie.
Oh, Prey. Yeah, Prey. She was great.
Yeah, so good. Is kidnapped during a robbery. Kane springs into action, battling new obstacles and an action packed. One of the reasons why I really wanted to see this and why I'm excited about this is that, especially seeing how it's Jack Quaid, it reminds me of Dennis Quaid movies of the 80s. You know, where
he does a little bit, yeah. Dumb. It's a dumb plot.
Yep.
I was going to say something much nicer than that. It's a but dumb okay.
plot that looks great. It does look great, though.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, what do you guys think?
I mean, I feel like this story's been done before. I can't remember the movie, but I know it's been done before. And I don't care. The trailer's a lot of fun. And it's cool to have like an action flick where the guy's kicking ass, but he's really not much of an ass kicker. I do like that. That's a nice twist.
Yeah, it feels like an 80s beat him up, shoot him up kind of.
Oh, super cheesy. It's kind of like a Dead Heat. Like, they just throw a plot against the wall. They don't even care. Like, let's just throw a guy in this. This will be fun, and then go for it.
Cheesy one-liners and, yeah, blow off some steam.
Oh, good times.
And they're doing some really creative kills that I've seen in the trailer. They do some pretty creative kills in how they approach that. So, I dig it.
And that's my list.
Nice.
All right. Well, I'm going to keep this energy train rolling, and we're going to start with my number one, which is January 31st in theaters. And surprisingly, I have two Netflix movies on mine. What the fuck? But you know, I want to see what I want to see. But number one is in theaters, and that's Companion from the creators of Barbarian. You know what I'm talking about? You
should have tried.
Oh, my God.
When I was looking through some of the movies, and I was comparing the list to make sure I didn't, like, take something somebody already chose. And I was like, oh, Companion. And I'm looking through the list. And I was like, of course Aaron has it. Because he has good taste.
Mm-hmm. Damn right I do. At least I hope I do. But director Drew Hancock delivers this tale of a guy who's Jack Quaid. Guys everywhere is where he is. And he whisks a girl who's Sophie Thatcher, who, if you watched Heretic, you know she's great, away to the woods. And then shit goes down. Everything I know about this movie is to go in as cold as possible. And that's what I love. I love when I know people I trust have seen this and said it's fantastic. Don't look into it. Just show up. And that's what I'm going to do. So that's all I'm going to tell you about the plot. That's where I'm going to leave you to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hard to talk about it when we can't talk about it. So.
But you can talk about it right now, right?
Looking forward to it, Aaron.
Grab a companion and go see it January 31st.
Well done.
Oh.
I did watch the trailer to it, and it does tell quite a bit of the story in it. I still want to see it.
Ooh, can't wait. All right. And then Happy Gilmore 2 is coming to Netflix. Yay! In 2025, and I know we should not like this. We should not be excited. That
we absolutely should be excited.
Happy Gilmore.
Wrong.
It's so long since the original came out, and I don't care. Yelling Adam Sandler is the best Adam Sandler. Mm-hmm. Nobody can convince me otherwise. And this is one of the few movies I have watched probably 100 times, and I laugh every time I watch it. At least at some point. So I can't wait to see the Sandman back.
And when does that come to Netflix, Aaron?
We don't know. 2025 sometime. They don't have a date yet. But Julie Bowen's back. Christopher McDonald, the Shooter McGavin's back. And apparently there's going to be a whole nother feud with Happy and Friends. But what I'm really expecting is he's going to come back and probably be like a more calm, subdued Happy. And then he just gets back into it. That's what I'm hoping.
I hope so. Looking forward to the good old Sandler.
Is it too long?
See it. What is it, too long since it?
Yeah, I'm asking.
No.
We've had a lot of that, like Anchorman 2, that was too long. Like Dumb and Dumber 2. You know, we've had these faux pas before.
It's Sandler, man. It's a Sandler.
It's true.
It's all good.
Yeah, I have faith in him. It's not like he's gotten less good over the years.
No, he's still funny.
Like even recent years, he's been doing good drama, good comedy. He still has it.
Okay.
Well, I know whenever it comes out, you can count on me and you in the parking lot of your favorite movie theater to go see it.
We'll be streaming on Netflix is what we'll be doing. All right. So A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey comes out May 9th. That's back to theaters. And that's Margot Robbie and Colin Farrell as two strangers who, thanks to a magical GPS system, embark together on a big, bold, beautiful journey. That's about all I know about that one, but the cast is what sells me on this. And it also stars Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Jodie Turner-Smith, Lily Rabe. It's right up my alley, man. It just sounds like one of those fun, zippy, emotional thrillers. And Margot Robbie has never disappointed me. Colin Farrell is just making great pick after great pick. So as far as I'm concerned, This is a must-see.
Good choice. Good choice.
That sounds really great. I'm in for that one for sure.
Will you? Will you go see it in a theater, John?
We'll have to see. You know, it might.
You will
know,
you take a big, bold, beautiful journey outside the house?
It's still up in the air right now. If I get a good phone call this week, maybe.
All right. Well, this was not in any order, but I will tell you, this is my number one most anticipated movie of the year. Wake Up Dead Man, A Knives Out Mystery.
Wait, didn't you just say that about Companion?
I'll say whatever I want. I'll sell whatever I want to sell. Okay. I'm saying whatever I can to sell these, all right? Go see these five. These are the best five.
It just
five.
Sounds like you had two honorable
these
top plays.
Are the best of the five. But this is the one I want to see the most. Now, it's coming to Netflix in 2025. No date yet. But what they did with Glass Onion was they released it in theaters for a week. And that was my favorite time seeing it. I will 100% go back to the theater if they do that again. I would prefer to see these in a movie theater. That's just, I love to see these with an audience. If I can't, I'll watch it on Netflix, but it's much better in theater to me. But Rian Johnson writes and directs this yet again. It's a third mystery with Daniel Craig as Benoit Blanc. And this cast, you guys ready? Check this cast out. Not only do you got Daniel Craig, you got Andrew Scott, Glenn Close, Kerry Washington, mm-hmm. Josh Brolin, mm-hmm. Jeremy Renner. Mm-hmm. I hope there's no snow cats involved. Kaylee Spaney, Josh O'Connor, Mila Kunis.
I was waiting for her.
And Thomas, she's like top. Thomas Hayden Church.
Good cast.
That's good. That's a good cast.
It's great. God. I'm already stoked. I just hope I live through the whole year. I gotta see that one.
Yeah, that one I would sell.
Why would you say that?
You just never know.
That one I would sell a kidney to make sure I get to the theater to see.
Really?
That's dark.
I want to hold you to that. When this comes out, if it's playing in a theater near you and you're not willing to sell a kidney to go, we're coming back to this episode. We're going to refer back to it. In fact, if we even know that you don't even leave the house still, I think you owe us $1,000. I think that's what the going rate is.
For lies.
Yep.
Wait a minute. I have a feeling you're going to use this $1,000 for something else. Nope. And we're going to find out about it in the future.
Nope. Lies. $1,000. That's how much lies cost. Can't wait for that one. And then finally, November 21st. And this is more a reimagining of Stephen King's story than a remake of the Schwarzenegger movie. But it's The Running Man. And it's directed by Edgar Wright. This is why I'm excited about it. Which means you're going to get an awesome soundtrack. Guaranteed. You're also going to get Glenn Powell, so there's going to be shit-eating grins everywhere. And it's about a game show where contestants are hunted for sport. And if Powell wins, he's rich. If he loses, he's less rich and dead. And Josh Brolin is the game show host. So Josh Brolin is popping up everywhere I want to be.
Love it.
I love that. Like this, I feel like some people are going to say, well, it's past its time or something like that. But I really feel like the survival game show is constantly up in the ante as it is. So I could see this in a real modern reality happening to some degree. People sign the waivers, man. I mean, you
nothing
watch
surprises
alone,
me.
People could literally die out there.
This got dark real fast.
It did.
I'm excited for a reboot, though.
You love the story, right?
I do like I like the original movies. I mean, the original movie's a little cheesy. Don't get me wrong.
Richard Dawson.
But at the same time, the concept of the movie is really great.
Yeah. It's a great idea that deserves to be reinvented. And Edgar Wright is a great director. So I think he'll make it fun.
All right. Well, we'll move into my list. And my first is The Monkey, which is coming out February 21st.
Is that a Robbie Williams movie?
It comes from horror maestro James Wan.
Sorry.
And Longlegs director Osgood Perkins. They team up for this adaptation of Stephen King's short story, The Monkey, which follows two twin brothers, both played by Theo James, whose discovery of a toy results in numerous murders. After many years and an unsuccessful attempt at destroying the monkey, the two brothers must come together to put an end to the murders. It sounds dark and mysterious. I love James Wan. I'm excited.
Twins?
Get over it.
God. I feel like there aren't even as many twins in the world. Yeah, but there aren't that many twins in the world. But there are so many in TV.
Statistically, there probably are.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think there's only six. Last count, there's six in the whole world.
That's you just keep running into all of them at the same time?
Yeah, it's wild. I'll see it because of James Wan and Stephen King.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you had to tell me. James Wan, yeah, I'm in.
All right, well then, coming to theaters June 6th is Ballerina. The first spin-off film of the John Wick universe stars Ana de Armas as one of the female assassins trained by Rusca Roma, the criminal organization headed by Angelica Houston's director and glimpsed in John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum. The details are pretty minimal right now, but we do know it will be another revenge tale, which are my favorite. And we know that it will be set specifically between the events of Chapter 3 and Chapter 4. So Keanu Reeves and his Continental cohort will also appear.
Ooh. Yeah, this is exciting for a multitude of different reasons. I do like the John Wick movies, although I still haven't seen the fourth one.
You can't say you're a big fan of them if you haven't seen the final one.
The fourth one was so good.
Wait, hold on. Watch me say this. I'm a big fan of the movies, even though I've
seen a lie. Yeah. I mean, you can say it, but it's just a lie.
It's very true.
$1,000. You owe me another $1,000.
That's another $1,000. Yeah.
Writing a check.
You don't. No.
Your body can't cash.
All right. Well, my third one is also semi-quasi my fourth one. So I'm going to go with first The Bride! Exclamation point, which comes out September 26th. It is a new Frankenstein film being brought to life, this time through a female lens. It will be a remake by Maggie Gyllenhaal of the 1935 Bride of Frankenstein. A murdered young woman in 1930s Chicago is born again at the hands of Frankenstein, played by Christian Bale. The bride becomes not only Frankenstein's romantic companion, but also the subject of police scrutiny and the leader of a radical social movement. Semi in conjunction with that is another Frankenstein movie, but this one releases in the summer, and it is from Guillermo del Toro. He finally gets to bring his long hoped for passion project to the big screen. And so his version of the classic Mary Shelley novel follows Victor Frankenstein as he pieces together and brings a monster to life. While other important details have not been revealed, del Toro has stated that he wanted to create a proper Miltonian tragedy out of the story, and with his horror pedigree, feels like we're going to have something pretty great coming out of it. So there are two Frankenstein movies, one from Maggie Gyllenhaal, one from Guillermo del Toro, but both of which I'm excited for.
Del Toro, Maggie Gyllenhaal is a good director. I'm not knocking her, but del Toro is where I would probably lean. If I want to see anything, it'll be del Toro's monster.
That's fair.
What was it, the Cabinet Stories on Netflix that del Toro did?
Cabinet Curiosities or something like that.
Yeah, Cabinet Curiosities. I really loved the feel and tone of those stories and how he brought it, how he brought a lot of that together. I know he didn't direct all of them, but because it is an anthology series. On top of that, you also have the horror that he's already put out, the very Victorian feeling in some cases, very, very, very much in its own world in other cases. So I do want to see Frankenstein from Guillermo del Toro. I'm interested with Maggie's The Bride, though. That's remaking that story. Like that's a pretty
bold. And at least they're different stories.
Yeah. It's a pretty bold story to tell. And Christian Bale being a part of it, I'm in with it.
You think one's going to come out before the other one?
Well, Frankenstein from Guillermo del Toro is supposed to come out in the summer. And then The Bride from Maggie Gyllenhaal is supposed to come out September 26th.
Which, that's a tough month to come out with a movie.
They should do one like in December at the end of the year. That's like the divorce. What was that?
That's terrible.
All right, moving that's along. So in the spring of 2025, we're going to get Death of a Unicorn, which is Paul Rudd and Jenna Ortega.
I'm so excited for this.
It's ridiculous. Is a father-daughter duo that hit an animal, only to realize after that it was a unicorn. This is an A24 film, so I am very eager to see what direction we're going to go.
Murderous unicorn. That's my guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd, Jenna Ortega, A24. What could possibly be any better?
What a weird, like that whole whole smorgasbord of the combination of talent in that is fascinating to me. You got A24, Paul Rudd, and Jenna Ortega. None of those things should be together. And then you throw in a unicorn. I don't know what the hell's going to happen. I have no idea.
It's going to be amazing.
It's, yeah, I can't wait for that movie.
Or that's weird as hell. I think
it might be my top movie of the year, honestly.
It might be, because it's going to be weird. All right, so my last one is the untitled Trey Parker film, which is supposed to come out on the 4th of July. The Paramount film chief, Brian Robbins, had told the crowd at CinemaCon that this script is one of the funniest and most original scripts we've ever read. I know very little about it. We all know very little about it, but somehow Kendrick Lamar is involved.
What?
Yep. And I'm a big fan of Kendrick even before he got big with his Not Like Us song. But I'm super excited. Ever since he threw
Drake under the bus and ran him over 8 times?
Yeah. Yeah, several times. So I'm curious about, because they've had it dedicated for the 4th of July too, and I don't know if that has any relevance to the film, but I'm excited. I want to know what's going to happen here.
Is this South Park Trey Parker? Like, America,
South Park Trey Parker, yes.
I'm in, weirdly.
I don't know if it's that weird. His movies are pretty much hits, even within the insanity, they all are.
I hope they're... I want a basketball sequel. That's what I want. Oh my
God. That would be the greatest thing in the whole wide world if we got a basketball sequel.
Love that movie.
I don't know if I need Orgasmo again, but basketball, yeah.
I'm in.
Moving on to my list then, we have number one, The Gorge.
Nope.
This one's...
Nope. You can't have a Miles Teller movie first. You can't... Nope.
Yep.
We've got rules.
I'm literally putting this one on here because it's Miles Teller. The only reason I picked it was because I knew Aaron hates Miles Teller. But everybody on this podcast loves Anna Taylor-Joy, so...
That's fair.
You know?
Yep.
What Aaron's going to really hate, though, is that it's actually an epic love story between the two. Oh, and he's going to be like, Miles Teller, stay the F away. But it's a love story set on the opposite sides of the gates of hell. Yes, that's right. The gorge actually must be guarded at all costs with no contact between the two towers that sit on either side of it. With Anna Taylor-Joy's character on one side and Miles Teller's on the other, they exchange messages back and forth as they protect the Earth from whatever's coming from below. And what a great way to say I love you on Valentine's Day on Apple TV Plus. This one's directed by Scott Dickerson.
Of course it's Apple. Jesus Christ. But I will say I have seen the trailer and it looks really interesting. Like, cool idea. It's a very cool idea.
Am I the only person who feels like, okay.
No. It feels what?
Feels like what?
Like Anya Taylor-Joy is just becoming very oversaturated.
Mm-hmm. She's good though.
But it's starting to feel like she's the same thing in everything, and now we have her in everything. So it's the same character in everything she's in, which is a lot.
The only thing I don't agree with, I kind of agree with that. She is a lot. I think she's extremely talented, but they keep positioning her as, like, she's trying very hard to be positioned as an action hero in the last couple movies, Furiosa, and now this. It's hard to, she's a waif. Like, she's so skinny these days. And I think it's a hard sell.
But she looks so bad in the trailer, though.
No, she looks great, but I'm just saying, she's a waif. She's very thin. She's a tiny person.
Yes.
So is Ana de Armas, but we don't have a problem with that.
I think she sells the physicality more. I've seen both. Furiosa, I didn't think she sold the physicality. For me personally, right. I know a lot of people have raved about the movie. I wasn't one of them.
There could be some truth to that. Okay.
I'm looking for the acting, not for the looks. I am looking at robots, though, because I am one. Can't
say that with Miles Teller involved. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm excited for a robot movie because I am a robot myself. So Electric State, in the aftermath of the robot war, the only path forward is through the Electric State, a place where robots are going to be like a penitentiary type position. And it's going to star Millie Bobby Brown and Chris Pratt and Stanley Tucci. It's going to be directed by the Russo brothers, and it's only going to be on Netflix March 14th. It's set in a retro futuristic past where Michelle, played by Millie Bobby Brown, is an orphan teenager who traverses the American West in search of her younger brother. Joining her on the journey is a sweet but mysterious robot and an eccentric drifter played by Chris Pratt. This is going to be amazing. I can't wait. Trailer looks bonkers.
Yeah, the thing that you have to say to sell me on this is Russo Brothers. I'm in for it just for that.
I'm in for, well, I like Chris, I like everybody involved, but Millie Bobby Brown, man, I think her Netflix movies are really enjoyable. I liked both of the Enola Holmes movies. I thought Damsel was really good. It was a pleasant surprise. So I'm actually more in because of her than I think everybody else involved, because the Russo brothers are hit or miss to me. And, you know, Pratt's Pratt, but, she's impressed me quite a bit.
And the robots look cool.
I haven't seen the trailer. Do they look, is it a cool design?
Yeah, it looks, it's been, yeah.
Yeah, there's a very cool, like, there's a really cool feel to them. It's pretty nuanced for sure.
And the one is kind of like a lumbering, just kind of like, you know, it's like.
So they have different feels, the robots do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like characteristics and mannerisms and whatnot?
Different types of robots, different characters. They're okay. And they're very obviously different people as far as the robots are concerned. And that's what's very cool about it.
You know what? You gotta commend the Russos, because whatever they're doing, their budgets are always $600 million for each movie they do. It's insane. And they keep getting the money. So they must be doing something right.
Who knew that the community would get them this far?
Who knew? Well, speaking of community, we can go visit the apartment buildings back in Virginia Beach in the summer of 1977 with Golden.
Dude remains undefeated with segues. Undefeated.
This film, Golden, plays homage to the neighborhood where Pharrell Williams grew up, and it's Atlantis Apartments in particular. This is going to actually be done as a musical by Greatest Showman and Dear Evan Hansen writers Paskey and Paul, and it's going to be dropping on May 9th. Directed by Michael Gondry.
I am very curious about that. Now, I haven't seen Evan Hansen. You have. You love it.
Well, I mean, I love the musical, the movie. I've got challenges with it, but it has Caitlin Dever. So I'm like, oh, Caitlin Dever.
Is it the same music in the movie?
They cut out two songs. One for sure they cut out. I think they cut out a second one. And yes, they cut out a second one. It was actually a pretty important one, actually, which I'm really kind of upset about. And they added a new song.
But their music's very catchy. So I can expect catchy songs in this.
You like the great. It's like The Greatest Showman. You find these catchy as well, because they did Greatest Showman.
I'm excited.
And Spirited and Dear Evan Hansen. So
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think based on stuff that Amanda has worked with in the past, I think that this woman hit home a little bit.
Okay. Interesting.
Alrighty.
But it's very difficult to watch Ben Platt play an 18-year-old when he's 40.
Literally.
Yeah.
They should have took one of the current Broadway people to play him.
I never told you this, but I started to watch it and I made it 10 minutes. And that's exactly why I couldn't. I'm like, I can't buy this. I'm sorry. I just can't.
But you should finish. It's a great
story. I should go back to it. I want to, because I know you've raved about it. So.
Yeah. It gets there. The musical is still the musical. The story is still the story. It still hits.
And it's also
in the places.
Music, you know as well as I do. Musicals, well, for me anyway, not for necessarily for you, but for me, it's like an animated movie. I have to be in the right place to watch it.
Yep. Right place, right time. And then we have Karate Kid Legends. That's right. Fresh off the Cobra Kai series finale. This one will not have Billy Zabka in it. No Jenna Lawrence.
Boo!
But
yay!
We're finally making things right in the Miyagi universe. That's right. Daniel LaRusso is going to be set up by Han. Yes, that's right. That Han from the Karate Kid movie where he taught Trey Parker. So we are going to have Kung Fu and Karate meeting up because it turns out that the Kung Fu is from the same tree as Miyagi Karate. And we're going to be bringing those two worlds together as Daniel-san and Han go ahead and start training a new kid, Lee Fong, who is basically mourning the death of his father. So this movie is supposed to take place 3 years after the Cobra Kai finale. So if you actually see the trailer for this movie, you'll notice that Miyagi's house is actually painted the color that it was during the original Karate Kid movies and not the blue color that you do see in Cobra Kai. So whether they strip the blue and go back to the original color or if that was an oversight, I'm not sure. But it does take place 3 years after the Cobra Kai finale. And of course, if anybody doesn't know, Ralph Macchio plays, obviously, Daniel-san. I'm sorry, Jackie Chan is in here playing Han. And Ben Wong is the new character. Lee Fong will be a new character to bring to the Miyagi-Do Karate. And that'll drop on May 30th, directed by Jonathan Entwistle. I'm excited.
I'm very stoked for that. I think that, We dial it down a little bit. I'm not happy Johnny Lawrence isn't there. Mm-hmm. I'll even probably vent about that a little bit more when we talk about TV next week.
But we don't know what happens at the end of Cobra Kai yet.
We don't. So
there might be a reason.
Stop yelling at me. But I also, I think Jackie Chan, I love. I'm kind of past Daniel LaRusso. So I'm hoping he has a more minor role. Is that mean to say?
That's fair, because they do talk. You've had his story through the movies and then Cobra Kai. Exactly.
I'm kind of past LaRusso.
But what I like about this, though, is that for those that did see the movie that Jackie Chan was in,
it's very good.
The big thing there was that like he was like a down on his luck, not really ready to be a leader again. And so in this trailer, we actually see him like he's in charge of his own dojo. He's got a lot of students. So it's kind of like he's kind of found his stride, but he's also met his match. And so that's why he needs to find Daniel-san to help him win the last thing or whatever.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm excited. And then, of course, me, the Pixar person, Elio, is going to be coming, of course, on the Father's Day weekend, as always, June 13th. What if the thing you were searching for found you first? In this Pixar Animation Studios big screen comedic misadventure, alien-obsessed Elio discovers the answer to that question when he is transported to the Cum-universe, an interplanetary paradise that is home to intelligent life from galaxies far and wide. But when he's mistaken as Earth's leader, he'll have to form unexpected bonds, navigate a crisis of intergalactic proportions, and make sure he doesn't lose the opportunity to live out his ultimate dream. It's landing in that usual Father's Day weekend spot. I can't wait. Looks really, really good, and Pixar back to form.
Are you happy to have something that's not franchise-driven?
Like an
original Pixar movie?
Yeah, I am, actually. You know, because we got the Inside Out 2 this last year, so like let's go back to an original, and then we can go back to
Toy Story 5.
Toy Story 5.
Yeah.
You know, which I'm okay with. Toy Story 1, 2, 3 was great. It could have ended there, but it's the Andy trilogy, right? So now we're in the Bonnie trilogy. Mm-hmm. So if we can get a good Bonnie story for three movies, why not? You know, people love the characters. I'm down with it. Lightyear was a disaster. That was a stupid mistake. But
Elio. Is it Elio?
Elio. That's the title. Elio.
I'm excited because when they make their original stuff is really good. So... I'm looking for. I love Pixar. I hope they get back to being the Pixar of 10 years
ago. Four quadrant delivery, tear up sometime in the movie, and you got a winner.
That seems like going to be such a good movie. I do like you guys. I like it whenever there's something original and new from Pixar. I don't really go for the sequel so much, but when it's a new story, I'm down.
And that's my five.
Good picks. I like them.
All right. Well, now we're going to segue to our listener picks. Now, we did a poll in our Facebook group, The Hollywood Outsider, that basically polled everybody and said, what are your top 10 movies of the year? Because we figured that way, those are going to be the ones that people are most excited about, and we're going to decide if we're as excited about them as they are. And we ended up with one three-way tie for 10th, but the rest are in order. So we're going to start with number 10, and these two yahoos are going to alternate. So Amanda, take us away. Start us off.
Mickey 17 comes out March 7th. It has Robert Pattinson in it. It's directed by Bong Joon-ho. A disposable employee is sent on a human expedition to colonize the ice world Nilfim. After one iteration dies, a new body is regenerated with most of his memories intact. I know this one's kind of low on the list. It still made the top 10, but I am excited from the fact that, you know, we have Robert Pattinson in his heightened era of his acting work, and Bong Joon-ho is a great director, so I'm very much looking forward to Mickey 17.
Yeah, and this is, he directed Parasite, if you're not sure who he is. My God, that's a great movie. I think if you watch the trailer for this, I think you would really be stoked for it. It looks creative, innovative, and interesting. It's been pushed because they had delay in filming and whatnot, but I just can't wait to see it.
All right. Airing, I believe, this Friday is Wolfman. Wolfman is Lee Wannell's latest horror film coming to theaters January 17th. Blake and his family are attacked by an unseen animal and in desperate escape barricade themselves inside a farmhouse as the creature prowls the perimeter. As the night stretches on, however, Blake begins to behave strangely, transforming into something unrecognizable that soon jeopardizes his wife and his daughter.
Cannot wait to see Lee Winnell's new work.
Yeah, I'm excited for this. I love werewolf stories, and I and Lee Whannell, I always give what he's doing a chance.
Okay, you guys need to jazz this up. This looks fantastic. Wolfman looks amazing. Lee Whannell is awesome. He did Upgrade. He did The Invisible Man. He did Saw. He wrote Saw, mm-hmm. motherfucker. Mm-hmm. Like, go see this. This is the kind of movie I want to see in a theater. This is a
100%. I already have my tickets for it.
There you go. Let's go.
What are you on?
I'm on excitement. You guys should try it sometime.
All right. Well, another one that's got people excited is Tron: Ares. And this is the last one tied for 10th place. I withdraw
all previous excitement.
This one's coming to theaters October 10th. A highly sophisticated program, Ares, is sent from the digital world into the real world on a dangerous mission. I could not care less about Tron: Ares.
Yeah, this one kind of breaks my heart because I really liked the first two Tron movies, and I like the difference of the second Tron movie from the first one, and how it grew. I would have liked to stayed with those characters more, but you know, with fucktoy sizzle tits, I can't remember his name right now because
Jared Leto.
That's the one. I don't care.
Never mind. I'm just going to walk
away.
How
did you get Sizzle Tits? How did you get Jared Leto from Sizzle Tits? Jeez.
Well, that's me. That's what Sizzle
Teeth maybe from the Perlini War during the Joker stuff that he did, but...
I just don't get excited. I don't get excited about Jared Leto. I just don't. And the fact that he's in this is disappointing because I want to see this be taken a little bit more seriously, and I don't know if it's going to happen with him in the movie.
You won't get any argument from me.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I always thought Tron would be a trilogy, so I'm glad they have a third. I wish it would still revolve around the ISOs from the second movie. Maybe it will. Don't know yet, because that's where the ISOs were in the real world. So if Ares is coming to find an ISO, that could be cool how they tie the two movies together. But yeah, not high hopes for this, especially coming in an October drop. Like, this seems like it should be like a summer movie or... a holiday.
Hey, weekend October release. Can get some cool movies. It's September that's not a good month for movies.
Why do you hate it? Why are you a month hater? Why are you a monthist?
I'm not a monthist.
Oh, him.
You're discriminating against months.
He is. No. Oh, he's like, dropping in October like Halloween doesn't saying, matter.
This is a long-standing Disney property with a freaking amazing ride at Epcot that they should be tying the two things together, promote the shit out of it. What the fuck is Bob Iger doing? Can we get a new CEO again?
They just got profitable.
He's got a lot of work to do here. You know, he's doing his best.
He's got to fix some stuff.
Let's reverse a couple of things.
Maybe he fixed Tron with this movie. I don't know. Don't count the Tron series as a dead thing yet. We'll find out. You know what's not dead though? Dinosaurs. Yes, that's right. Because if six movies wasn't enough, let's make a seventh in Jurassic World Rebirth.
I'm in.
Coming July 2nd, 2025. 5 years post Jurassic World Dominion. An expedition braves isolated equatorial regions to extract DNA from three massive prehistoric creatures from a groundbreaking medical breakthrough.
This is not going to be connected to the other movies, though, right? It's going to be its own thing.
I mean, it's like its own thing, but it's still in the same universe.
Do people have a problem with this? Because I love dinosaur movies, so I don't care.
Love dinosaur movies, too. It sounds like we're not going to have too much in the way of returning cast in this.
Scarlett Johansson, man. I like her.
I said returning cast.
I know. That's what I'm but I'm saying I like her, so I'm good.
Yeah, I like her too. Oh, yeah.
New cast, 5 years later.
I kind of like that.
But I mean, how many times can you let's run away from big monsters in a jungle?
Lots of them. Have you seen Fast and Furious? Those are cars. They're just dinosaurs with wheels.
Right.
What the fuck? Okay, so coming November 21st, Wicked. For good. This is part two of the Wicked film that came out in 2024, which is a Broadway adaptation for the eight of you that aren't familiar by now.
For the eight of you who haven't seen a TikTok video of people recreating that song.
Exactly.
With other movies dubbed over it.
After challenging the wizard's totalitarian regime in Oz, Elphaba must grapple with her identity as the Wicked Witch of the West. Meanwhile, the wizard has given Glinda the title Glinda the Good and a public status as the nation's defender against Elphaba. The two witches must make decisions that seal their fates in this second musical installment. And composer Stephen Schwartz had said, "We found it very difficult to get past defying gravity without a break. That song is written specifically to bring a curtain down, and whatever scene to follow it without a break just seemed hugely anticlimactic." So that's why they cut the movie where they did and separated it into two parts, in case you were wondering.
Bullshit. I call bullshit on that. I mean, good for him for having a great sales pitch, but...
I mean, I also love how he sales pitches the fact that he, like, the song was written to specifically bring a curtain down, but yeah, we kept it going for an extra 30 seconds just to get the shot into the sunset.
Exactly. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, that too.
They wanted to make more money. That's it. But hey, the movie was great and it never bored me. So I'm looking forward to the second one.
That's where the act breaks for the musical on Broadway. So it makes sense to break it for the movie as well. I mean, it was perfect, except for the extra 20 seconds.
How excited are you for this second half, Trey? You're the only one here who knows how this goes.
That's not true.
Oh, have you seen the musical?
The play.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then you two. Are you both excited then for the second half? I'm sorry, Amanda. I made an assumption. I should not have done that, and I'm going to apologize.
How dare you think that I'm not on the musical theater level of Troy?
I just didn't think you went and saw it.
I mean, you didn't see 10 shows last year, but that's okay.
No, I sure did not.
What, do you get a free sandwich?
That sounds expensive.
No, free drink. In a small cup, about the size
of a Okay, well, you two, are cup. You two excited for the second half to
unfold? Of course.
Fold.
The songs are still good. The story is amazing. How it ties in The Wizard of Oz is fantastic.
Yeah.
The thing that is interesting, musicals in general kind of have this problem where they have to give you the big bombastic first act because they want to hook you and get you to the intermission. And then the second act comes out and it's a little slower for the last hour and a half. And it's not the best songs in the second act until the finale, right? So I don't know if this is going to keep as much of an audience attention as the first movie did, because I don't know how you take the second act and really make it 2 hours and 40 minutes also.
Yeah, so those Murphys.
They're going to have to pull a lot from the books to make the second act as long as the first movie, if they're going to still stay with the 2 hour, 40 minute concept.
That's true.
So I'm more skeptical of the second movie than I was of the first movie.
Interesting. Okay.
Because it's the first movie is all the songs. All the choreography. Amazing. It's all good. You know what's going to be good again? The Fantastic Four.
For the third time.
Hey. Or fourth. Got to take first steps somewhere, and these are the first steps for the Fantastic Four.
God.
Jesus. Undefeated.
July 25th. Pedro Pascal, Vanessa Kirby, Eben Mockruck, and Joseph Quinn will be doing this in an interview between director Matt Shakman and Entertainment Weekly. Said that this is not, even though it's called First Steps, an origin story. One of the things we decided early on was not to do the origin story. One of the ways we're making it our own thing is if we're not telling the story of them going up and being changed and starting our story there. There's a lot of well-known narrative that leads into that moment. And when you're making up your new story, starting basically at the end of the first act, and we thought, well, let's just start this thing off on a completely new foot. So that's where we're beginning.
This is one of those times where it's hard to get excited about something because I've been burned so many times by Marvel movies that I don't know if I can get excited. But you got the internet's daddy. You got Vanessa Kirby, Joseph Quinn. That's a hard cast to beat, you know.
Julia Garner. She's a Silver Surfer. I love Julia Garner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't mention that. I thought that'd be a spoiler.
No, it's out there.
It's already been commented on. But yeah,
nothing ever be fun anymore.
It's a great point. It's a great point.
I mean, thanks for trying to protect us, Troy, but
you're welcome.
Robert Downey Jr. is gonna be Doctor Doom too, if you didn't hear.
See, that's exactly it. That's exactly where I go, oh, right. I don't know.
Yeah. I love the cast. I think the cast is fantastic. It's and Pedro Pascal inspired casting, Kirby, like everybody across the board. It's just I don't care about the Fantastic Four, but I'm hoping that they get me rejuvenated, I guess. These are the first steps toward making me care again about this movie. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah, we'll have to see how it goes.
Boy, that's that sounded enthusiastic.
It's Pedro. I'm gonna see it for Pedro. That's everybody's guy.
You're gonna just hate but watch it. You're like, I'm watching this for Pedro, but this movie sucks.
I just have to support him through it and tell myself it's not so bad.
If they do some cutesy metaverse thing, multiverse thing with Miles Teller showing up, I'm out. I will get up and leave. That's how bad that Fantastic Four movie was.
Oh, dear.
What about John Krasinski?
And then I'll stay for that.
Don't. I'm mad. I'm mad you teased it, Marvel.
Oh, John Krasinski?
I imagine you teased it, and it would have been great, and you messed it up.
Yep.
Yeah. Here. Well, a different new casting comes with Captain America Brave New World, which is coming to theaters on the Day of Love, February 14th. We've got Anthony Mackie, Harrison Ford, Liv Tyler. Anthony Mackie is officially putting on that shield in the latest cap, is Sam Wilson, who finds himself in the middle of an international incident and must discover the motive behind a nefarious global plan.
What we're saying is that Disney owns Harrison Ford? Is that what we're saying?
I think he definitely gets a large commission and bonus each year.
He's doing all right. He's doing okay.
Yeah, he's doing fine. This one I'm legitimately excited for, and only because it's a Captain America story. And on top of it being Captain America story, it's Anthony Mackie's or Sam Wilson's Captain America story, which the thing that I love about all the different Captain Americas through the comics is they all have their own thing that they kind of stand up for, and they are the symbol of. And from what they showed from the TV series, Sam Wilson's Captain America stands up for the forgotten soldiers that we have nowadays, and I love that kind of storytelling.
I agree with that. The only problem I have is he doesn't have any super serum. So how's he going to stand up to like real foes? I mean, he doesn't have the same powers as the original Captain America. And I guess maybe that's part of the movie, right? Like, how are they going to make that work?
They made it work in the TV series when he's fighting all those people with the super serum.
But that was like a much smaller scale. Much smaller scale. Like, I don't know. I mean, you're right. That show worked. I did like the show quite a bit. But mm-hmm. He also had a lot of help from Bucky, who has that special serum already.
And a metal arm.
Yeah. So he's a little advantage. Arm. This guy's got wings. Whoopity shit.
Well, he could use those wings for everything.
He could glide into enemies left and right.
They used them for shields. He's used them as weapons. He's used them as a way to like protect himself. There's a lot of things he's done with those wings.
I hope it's very creative. I do. I love Mackie. I think it's cool he's getting a shot.
I don't know. I don't know. Like, I haven't really like delved into his Captain America persona yet. Like, it just doesn't fit for me. I don't know why.
Because of the wings. That's why.
I don't know. I'm sure it'll be good either way.
You sound convinced. What's next?
What's next is a ripoff, because we all knew that, you know, Earth, Fire, Wind, Water was for the Avatar, the Last Airbender. And then this James Cameron guy shows up and he's like, let me call something the Avatar and then use the same elements, because we all figured that fire was up next after Avatar Way of the Water. So sure enough, here comes Avatar Fire and Ash. Shocker. December 19th, 2025 for the Christmas rush. James Cameron's third installment in the Avatar series. While we don't have an official synopsis yet, we can expect to see even better effects, and that Fire and Ash will introduce a new Na'vi tribe on the wonderful planet of Pandora.
Don't care.
Everybody's going to say that, and it's going to make $2 billion. That's the funny part.
Yeah. Somebody's kids care, but I don't give a shit.
Yeah. It's going to make $2 billion.
I've never been a big fan of this series, and I've been disappointed by each movie that's come out.
Cameron's missed you the whole way.
He really has.
Yes.
While he's like drying his tears with the billions of dollars off of his face. Yes, I know he's missed. He's missing my $11.
Is the next one going to be an air playoff?
Air B and Airbender.
Yeah.
BNDR.
Avatar Airbender.
Yeah, but he just like takes a couple letters out.
Why not?
He takes the vowels out of Bender.
It's Air Ender. All the oxygen gets sucked out of Pandora and the planet dies.
Oh, no.
They've gone from suck to blow.
Oh, man.
God, all right, Sam Worthington is so happy he's got a job.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to just pretend that Avatar is not happening. So Thunderbolts is coming out May 2nd.
It's still a cool concept, okay?
I guess.
It's a cool concept.
Dude, we can naysay it all we want. It's huge, hugely it popular. It is huge. Hugely popular.
Do you think that's because of the story, though, or because of the effects?
Fuck no. It's because it looks cool.
Pekin stole the show in the second movie. Like, give the whale his own damn franchise, all right?
Yeah, that's why families were going back by the hordes. Because
they wanted to see that boat rip in half when he jumps over it.
Dude, it's people enjoy the movies. They do. I'm not one. I enjoyed the second one. I enjoyed, you know, for what it was. Great effects, though.
I enjoyed the second one. I was watching the first one and then watching Titanic. Two of your favorite movies.
All right. So Florence Pugh, Harrison Ford. He's got another opportunity out there. Sebastian Stan, David Harbour, and Wyatt Russell are in our Thunderbolts May 2nd. Directed by amazing. Jake Schreier. Yes, it does. The Thunderbolts are a group of supervillains who are recruited to go on missions for the government. I'm sure all of them are above board and approved, and all of the citizens in the country would approve of them as well. But excited to see this group come together. I'm sure it'll be very entertaining.
I love this trailer. It's Marvel Suicide Squad, if you didn't put it together, and looks wonderful.
And yeah, it's better than Suicide Squad.
Whoa, you haven't seen it, bitch.
Two. I saw the trailer, and that's all I needed to see. All I needed to see that this was better than Suicide Squad. This got heated so quick.
I hope Jared Leto gives a cameo. Full grill.
I'd say I'd punch you in the teeth, but I might hurt my hand. No, I'm excited for this. This is going to be great. It's something new Marvel that looks like old Marvel that's going to feel like a sweet spot, I think. Great way to kick off the summer.
Absolutely.
I'm excited to see David Harbour in something again. I just finished up Creature Commandos because I was forced to, and just having his voice playing Frankenstein in that made it so much better. And I like the way he's able to commit even by voice, and even on the screen when he plays this character. I like how he commits so fully to being absurd and yet still believable.
And if he was a character in that cartoon, if there's a real life presentation, then in live action, then he will be playing that too. That's what James Gunn said. Anybody in the animated that comes to live action will be played by the same actor.
Yep, and that makes me even more excited, because Eric Frankenstein was amazing.
Thunderbolts looks fun, and Florence Pugh, man, I have nothing but excitement for her. She's leading that one.
Yeah, I mean, Florence Pugh can do no wrong, but the one that can one up Florence Pugh is my girlfriend, Jodie Comer. She's amazing.
I'm with you. You're right. I agree. Go ahead.
And she's come in 30 years later to 28 years later. That's right. It's been almost 3 decades since the Rage virus escaped from a biological weapons laboratory. Still living in a ruthlessly enforced quarantine, some have found ways to exist amid the infected. One of these groups of survivors lives on a small island connected to the mainland by a single, heavily defended causeway. When one of them decides to venture into the dark heart of the mainland, soon discovers a mutation that has spread to not only the infected, but the other survivors as well. Also stars Aaron Tyler Johnson. This is directed by Danny Boyle, coming June 20th. Excited for another 28 movie.
It's Aaron Taylor Johnson, just so you know.
Well, you wrote it as Tyler, so that's why I read it that way.
I did, actually.
Poor Amanda.
Also stars
tired.
Also stars Aaron Taylor Johnson and directed by Danny Boyle.
So here's we're just gonna leave that in. Fuck it. So let me ask you a question, all of you, okay? Because this surprises me. I expected people to be like, all right, I want to see that. I did not expect, like, it's number 3 on this poll. I've seen it on leading polls left and right and IMDb and everything else. Why are people so excited for this one?
Because it's been a while.
I get that, but cute. It's been a while. Why?
So let's just take a moment. Anytime for those who aren't familiar, Justin, former host who passed away, his thing was always, it's been a while. And so whenever we hear that, we all, I think, instinctually sing it in our heads. Think about him.
Absolutely. And
then go on.
Back on target. All right. So 28 years later, I am stunned that this has so much excitement behind it. I'm happy because the trailer looks fantastic. Like, it really does. Like, kind of looks like it's going to reinvent the zombie movie, which we haven't had a good one in a while. Anybody, are you guys excited? Like, why do you think this one is so huge?
For me, the reason why it's so huge is Danny Boyle is coming back for this one. He did not do 28 Weeks Later. He produced it, but he did not direct it. And Danny Boyle has rarely made a movie that I can't watch.
Yeah, and I think just with the cast and the name recognition of the franchise, I think it puts things together and you go like, all right, I'm down for another one.
And Alex Garland wrote these too, by the way.
Yeah.
And we've also been in a little bit of a slump when it comes to like zombie content. We've Fear of the Walking Dead is not like it was with The Walking Dead. And with films, we're not really seeing them as prevalent either. So I think it's also about timing where it's like, okay, we're not so inundated because we've been inundated with superhero. That's what we've been just obsessed with. So it's also just about getting into something a little bit different that we have a lot of love and appreciation for. A lot of people are big fans of 28 Days Later. So I think it's also that, and you have a great cast.
Fair enough. Just curious.
All right. So number two, we have Superman.
Number two James, got beat by something. Superman is not the strongest person on the planet.
But James Gunn is bringing us a new iteration of Superman on July 11th. This is actually James Gunn's deceased father's birthday, who he has said influenced the screenplay. So I think that's kind of sweet as well.
Oh, and I can't make jokes that are mean.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it.
Superman follows a titular superhero as he reconciles his heritage with his human upbringing. He is the embodiment of truth, justice, and the human way in a world that views this as old-fashioned. We did get a trailer for this recently. We talked about it on a different episode around Christmas 2024. But who's super excited for Superman?
My wife, actually. She told me today, she was like super excited to see this. And I was like, really? You're not like the superhero type normally. She's like, yeah, there's just something about Superman. Superman's like the superhero. So it's like, I would definitely be down to see the Superman show. So I'm pleasantly surprised to hear that. I think she's just in it for the dog. Really, but
dog won me over too.
Superman is one of my favorite characters when it comes to comics. You know, Superman's top of the heap for DC, Captain America's top of the heap for Marvel, and I was against the idea of doing this because I was just so tired of the idea of rebooting something that's still so fresh and new when it came to Henry Cavill's Superman. The trailer did a lot to win me over, but I'm still kind of like shell-shocked by everything. So I don't know. I'm excited, but I'm guarded as well.
I mean, Manon and I talked about it ad nauseum on that episode, three episodes back, whatever the number is. But succinctly, I will watch it. I'm not excited or stoked for it. I feel like we've been here, done that, and I also just don't love Superman.
That's fair.
More importantly, I want to know who is more popular and beat Superman. That's what I want to know. Who's number one?
All know. Oh,
the Superman of all time when it comes to stunts and movies and looking fabulously young from drinking the blood of babies. That is Tom Cruise, Amanda's boyfriend.
My number one, A1 day one.
Coming back to theaters May 23rd for the final reckoning of Mission Impossible. No official synopsis yet, but the eighth movie in the Tom Cruise hit action franchise will be a direct sequel to the previous film because they were supposed to be in the same movie together.
Yeah,
they were. The previous film, for the first time in the series history, it'll be like a part two, but it's not Dead Reckoning Part Two. It's the final reckoning, May 23rd, Tom Cruise one last time.
I'll see it.
Let's unmask this bitch.
Yeah, I'm okay with this being number one because
it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, like Mission Impossible has, with the exception of one movie, has been all hits, except for maybe one. And even two? that one movie was a hit for its time. It
made money.
It made money. Yeah, it's hard to watch again.
It really is.
Yeah. I love this series. I love what they did with it. I love how they turned it into something different along the way. And I love that TV series growing up as a kid. It's something that I used to watch with my pops. So I love what they turned this into. I'm okay with this being number one.
I love Christopher McQuarrie. And he's the director and writer of the last few. And if you didn't see Dead Reckoning, and I know it, you know, it came out at a time and it kind of got swallowed up by Barbie and Barbenheimer, right? So it kind of crushed the box office a little bit. That was a nearly perfect action flick. It was one of the best action flicks I think that have come out in the last decade. It just all around as a whole, it's a great freaking movie. And if they can come close to matching that with this one, I don't see how it shouldn't be number one. And sorry, I know Mission Impossible has been there, done that, I guess, in terms of, you know, nobody remembers what plot happens with what movie. Fair enough. But you remember the set pieces. And I can't wait to see what the hell Tom Cruise is going to dangle off of this year.
Probably something wild that violates an insurance policy. That's all I know.
It's good to get another insurance guy. Okay. Oh, my God. That's so many movies. Now,
32 movies we talked about in the last hour.
Okay, well, we're going to do like a quick hit. Okay, I don't want to have to go through all of these, but I'm going to like mention them and see if anybody's excited about any of these, okay? Real quick. The I Know What You Did Last Summer reboot. Anybody excited?
No.
Is it July?
No.
Okay. Megan 2.0?
No.
Nah.
Wow. F1, which is Brad Pitt, Formula One
race I might movie. Check this one out.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Got
it's
something.
Brad Pitt.
I know. Sinners, Michael B. Jordan. He's playing twins again.
Yep.
No.
No.
Why'd you say, why are you like, that was a hell of a yip.
Yeah, I read up on it. I watched the what I could find on it. It looks great. I'm in. Like Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, they work well together. They really do. Good duo. A Minecraft movie.
No.
Maybe.
Yeah, I could see that being fun.
The trailer looks terrible, though.
I can't.
Though. But yeah. I'm interested. Not interested for me. Okay, so here's the last one. Now, Snow White.
I might.
Explain. I might. Explain. Explain. That's where, if you didn't know, Gal Gadot, who's apparently no longer the fairest of them all because she's getting beat by Rachel Zegler, and it doesn't make any goddamn sense that we have a bunch of dwarfs. Sorry, they're not dwarfs. They're just little people, whatever they're called in this particular film. But they're animated, kind of, but also supposed to look real, and it looks terrible. I think the design kind of looks terrible.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where, like, I want to give it a shot just to say that I've fairly watched it to assess it properly.
You were the fairest of them all to the movie?
You're so funny.
I know.
But it might have something that has beautiful heart to it that can surpass the bad effects or something. I don't know. We'll see.
You guys? Nothing? Yes? No?
Nah.
Nah. I don't need to see the hi-ho.
It's kind of representing us, really. You know, the song is really about us. We should sing that sometime, but Disney would sue them. Fuck
off. Maybe after we talked about 34 TV shows and 32 movies, we should be high too.
Okay. Well, that's it. But I do want to ask before we head out of here, is there any recent film or TV recommendation that we haven't talked about that you guys would like people to check out or you want to recommend before we head out of here? Because my God, there's so many movies.
I mean, Severance is coming. So if you haven't seen Severance on Apple TV Plus, definitely watch season one, rewatch season one before Severance drops. I also, because of Severance coming, I like was scrolling through. I never watched Foundation on Apple TV Plus. Fascinating TV show.
So good.
It's like, I'm equating it to like Game of Thrones, less violent, plus Star Wars had a baby. And it's really fantastic stuff.
I mean, there's a lot of math involved. It's Isaac Asimov storytelling. So it's pretty good. I'm going to take this moment to eat some crow because, as I mentioned, I did finish watching Creature Commandos. The last episode where I mentioned it, I kind of panned it a little bit where I'm like, yeah, I'm not in. I went ahead and finished it because a lot of people were telling me how wrong I was and I wanted to give it a fair shake. It's fun. And what I found myself enjoying is each episode dug into each individual of the creatures and their, the how lovingly crafted their backstories were and how much emotion was actually there that I wasn't really expecting. And again, you got David Harbour playing a lovesick Frankenstein and it's hysterical. So I'm going to give that a go ahead, a thumbs up as opposed to, the thumbs down that I did give it a couple weeks ago. One more thing. I finally like caved and watched Will Trent on, Hulu. I didn't want to watch the show. I don't know why I didn't want to watch the show. I had no interest in doing this, but I ended up letting it play after I finished watching something else. And then I just was like captivated by this character, by all the different characters in the show and the storytelling that's happening. And the reason why it struck so close to home for me is that it turns out Will Trent is dyslexic. At least they're portraying him as dyslexic in this show. And it's part of the reason why he feels like he's one of these great detectives, is because he's used his other senses or his other abilities to get by on life. And there's a lot of hints as to kind of like the trauma he dealt with because of his learning disabilities, but he's a bright, good detective, and it really struck home with me, and I ended up falling in love with it. So yeah, Will Trent.
Uh-huh.
Well, my recommendation is one I never thought I would ever give as a recommendation, but here we are today in 2025 on Netflix. WWE's Raw has returned. I swear to God.
What is happening?
I did not think that this could be entertaining, but Netflix, like...
Oh, yeah!
It was like a total... It was pure... I don't know. Like, they had pyrotechnics at times. They had drones in the sky.
Can you feel it, brother?
It was... That also. They bring back a lot of the OGs from the 90s and 2000s. Yep.
Amazing.
It was really fun, and I'm not a wrestling or WWE person, so I would say, especially if you are a fan of it, go check it out. They have crazy, crazy ass intros. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's still wrestling, so it's still funny as hell to like watch it and make fun of some of the stuff. Like, we absolutely know you did not hit them in the face, but now they're super dramatic and throwing their head around. I love it.
That's lies. That's all real. That's all real. And but
$1,000.
I will say,
it's a going rate.
Nice callback. Touche. I will say, like, even though the wrestling itself is not real, they really do get hurt by.
Yeah, they do. That. They're really being thrown around.
Yeah. I always love their storyline.
They're genuine athletes. They're genuine athletes for sure.
Sure. Yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah. They're slamming those roids to the mat. Yeah. I'm glad you enjoyed it. That's cool. I'm going to mention American Primeval if you haven't seen it. It's on Netflix. It came out just recently. And it's a 6-part series from Peter Berg. He's a director. He's done Spencer Confidential and Lone Survivor and a bunch of other things. Like, he's a great – The Kingdom. He's a great director. And this is Taylor Kitsch and Betty Gilpin, who I love, Betty Gilpin. And it's set in the 1800s, basically the Old West. But it's like given – it's like a – it's not your grandfather's Western, man. It's really dark and gritty, and it's showing how harsh everything is, that, you know, just because you like a character doesn't mean that they're going to get through this, that they're not going to suffer. There's a lot of aches and pains, and it's about this, Betty Gilpin is this woman who's trying to get across the Utah, section of Utah territory and having to deal with Brigham Young, whose militia is turning on the U.S. armies, and Native Americans are fighting back against the U.S. for obvious reasons. And it's just basically outlaws everywhere. And she needs Taylor Kitsch to guide her and her son across the territory to get to safe passage. And he doesn't want to do it. He's this frontiersman. And it's just it's 6 episodes of just nonstop needles, just white knuckling through this entire series. It's great. It's well done. It's visceral, violent, captivating, great acting, fun action. And it's really like a rock and roll Western is what I keep calling it. I just think it's a great time. Really surprised how good it was. That's it.
All right.
We're out.
Woo!
Guys, go see some movies in a theater or streaming. I don't care where you watch them. Just enjoy movies and TV this year. Man, we've got too many people complaining about everything. More positivity, less bitching. That's all I want.
If you thought this was a fun episode, wait till next week when we get to do it all over again for the small screen.
Yeah. Things get smaller.
The content sure doesn't get smaller, but the picture does.
Speaking of, you know what I would love? Is if the last episode of Stranger Things somehow gets broadcast in a theater. If I could see that one, just that'd that episode in a theater, I think that would be fantastic.
I'm kind of thinking the same thing for The Last of Us.
That'd be great too. Yeah. Let's make some music. Let's try some events, man. Let's go ahead and shake things up. Well, that's going to do it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, everybody, for participating and sitting here with all of us talking in movies and TV. And we are out. So remember, the next time you head to a theater, this year in 2025 when there's nothing but hits, I'm hoping, by Popcorn.